WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin', joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
What's up?
And the man leading the way, the one and only, Tim Stein.
Good thing that there is only one of me, because two would be too much to handle. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night. Yeah, we're back at it again. We're going to talk about this, that, and the other thing, because that's what we do.
It is what we do. It's the things that we do on a Sunday night.
We do things on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, we don't really do. We talk. We talk about them.
We talk a lot about things, because a lot of things happen, especially in sports entertainment.
Oh, my goodness.
And in other things, I mean, we can talk about the Cowboys.
Why?
We can talk about the Eagles.
Yeah, why? But there's no expectation on the Eagles. We can talk about the Cowboys, though.
Look, the Cowboys had a bad game, I'll admit it, and it apparently looks like the Los Angeles Rams are also in that. It's just not, today was not a good day to be a favorite.
I mean, the Falcons won, so...
The Falcons won. I'm mostly talking about Buffalo.
Yeah, I was going to get the Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's funny is the dude from Buffalo wore AEW cleats before the game, and then he lost to the Jaguars. So, yeah, it was a weird week of football.
That game was awful, though, because it was, what, 9-6?
Yeah, who wants to watch that?
I paid no attention to football this week.
That's just god awful.
You didn't pay any attention, Tim, to football?
I didn't bother with football this week. I had a very full week. Did a lot of stuff and made a couple of bucks doing it.
Well, that's good, because football happened today. So, you know, things.
Today was my day off. I didn't do nothing. I mounted a shelf in my kitchen, but that's it.
I mean, you could have watched football.
Could watch football, but I didn't because. I went and got a new router.
You got a new router like days ago.
No, this is a replacement for the new router. This is a newer new router.
What happened to the new router you got like 2 days ago that you were very happy that you got set up?
I followed the instructions and set it up, and then it said it had a little blinking, you know, the web interface that you go to on your browser, log in and do all that fancy crap. And there was a little blinking notification. So I read it. It said, update your firmware. I said, okay. I clicked the button, and it took me to the web page. I downloaded their firmware update, and then I uploaded it, and the router decided not to work anymore.
That's always fun.
Yeah, that's good, Tim.
So I took it back to Memory Express. I think that's a Canadian thing. You don't have that.
We don't have that.
No, we don't.
Yeah, it's a computer store. They have a D-Link dual band wireless router on sale for $39.99, which is $10 more than I paid for the other one, which was also on sale when I bought it. Regular price $59.99 down to $29.99.
So has this new router helped your internets?
Does it sound like I'm breaking up?
No, but doesn't mean it won't.
Okay, well, now, aching.
Waiting for that.
Yeah, you knew that was coming.
I was waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, man.
Classic
everybody in the
stuff.
Chat room.
Very classic stuff from
Tim. Hi, everybody not in the chat room but listening.
So, Tim, we're glad that you did not get the router out of the dollar bin. So that's good. You've stepped
up. No, I got it out of the $40 bin.
The $40 bin, not the dollar bin.
Now, the most important question, did you pay with a coupon?
No.
Okay.
I don't do coupons.
He just haggles and gets a better deal.
No, I don't do that either. I do collect points when I go grocery shopping, though.
Anyway, we're here to talk wrestling and other things, just not router talk.
I got 26,000 points.
And what does that get you?
$20 worth of food. A big change from this time last year, I had 135,000 points. But I used most of them and got free food.
Good job.
Yeah, that frees up my money to buy things like sale. That's dual band. Neat how I brought that all the way around after you said we were going to stop talking routers.
Let's talk wrestling, shall we?
Okay. Okay. So there's this thing called wrestling, and people watch it.
I didn't know people actually watch it. I just thought people complain on the internet about things they don't even watch.
Well, no. The people that don't watch it go on the internet and complain about how it's run.
So tonight's opening contest, we're talking about the releases from WWE this past week, because there were 18 of them.
I don't really agree with a few of these releases, but I'm sure that they have their reason. The thing that they're doing, though, is opening up the availability at a really bad time for wrestlers.
What? There's all these places to work, Tim. The market's not flooded with talent.
They're not going to be going to Ring of Honor anytime soon.
I mean, they could in 6 months. I mean, some of these...
Maybe.
I was going to say, because some of these have 90-day clauses, so that takes them to February. I mean, you know.
And they're going to be looking for people that aren't under contract, so...
There's a whole bunch of them. Who on this list surprised you, Tim?
Oh, well, for one, Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely surprised as hell to see Nia Jax's name on this list.
Okay.
I for personal reasons, I'm disappointed to see Harry Smith make the list.
He didn't even have a full cup of coffee.
Well, that's what I told you the other day when you told me he got released. And I said that he wasn't even there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that he was. He signed in what, July, and it's now November, so.
It was like the end of July.
He was brewing the cup of coffee.
So Harry and Keith Lee are names that surprised you. Brent, is there any that surprised you?
It's someone had brought this up before. I think you guys talked about it on the rack. B-Fab.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was just brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Nia did not surprise me at all. Keith honestly did when I saw his name come across, but the more I've thought about it, the more I'm kind of like, you know, I honestly don't think they knew what to do with him on the main roster. He's very talented, but I don't know if he fits what a lot of those writers and creative folk know what to do with, because they look at him and see, big guy, you do big guy things. And then, you know, he can do a second rope moonsault, and they kind of go, oh,
you could do
shit,
other
what
things.
Do we do?
You can do other things than big guy things. Got it.
Yeah, you can do like things that aren't big guy things. And it's one of those, like, I think if, you know, Hunter and Sean, as we saw, have a hold of them, they know what they can kind of work with. Bruce, don't really think he knows how to handle that. He looks at him and goes, Vader. Yeah, we still didn't know what to do with him back in the day. Shit. I want to say I was a little surprised by Frankie Monet, but then again, knowing the WWE stance on female wrestlers and the certain requirement that they want them to be at now,
supposedly.
I look at Frankie and I'm like, yeah, now that makes...
Again, supposedly.
Supposedly. One that kind of makes me sad is Ember. She just got hurt a little too often and it just kept stalling her. And going down to NXT helped her when certain people were in charge, and then when the rebrand hit, it was doomed for her. Because as we've seen, and as the rumor is now going around as well, if you are a veteran, you're not one of the younger people that they can try to start pushing up towards the main roster, you kind of need to start looking over your shoulder, because you don't know when someone's going to tap you on it and go, we need to have a talk.
Well, because they're going on a youth movement. They're trying to get younger, which there's nothing wrong with that. Building for the future.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. And I mean, they want to start getting, you know, that next group ready and start to move them up and keep that cycle moving. It doesn't bode well, possibly, for some people currently there, although two of them may be getting called up soon, if we can believe what's happening.
Yeah, but the point is, if you say you're looking at the WWE roster right now, and you see the class of like the Randy Orton's and the Dolph Ziggler's, who are getting, you know, an AJ Styles who are in their 40s right now, right? They probably have...
They're getting a little long in the tooth, yeah.
They have 3 to 5 years. WWE does not want to replace talent with more people in their late 30s who were down in NXT.
And I understand that. The only thing is, you need to be careful, because though you have someone that looks to be a star in the making, somewhat in like a Braun Breaker, I think that's like the poster child of the new movement, is because as soon as he hit the screen, everyone went, whoa, yeah.
Because
that's probably their first guy.
Yeah, because he caught your eye, went, oh, star.
But it's also like, how close is he truly? I mean, we saw he had a great match with Tommaso. I just don't want it to be like he gets called up and they go, okay, now we have to build you back up again, and you're going to lose to Jeff Hardy.
I don't think they would do the carrying cross to him.
I don't think they do the carrying cross, but as we know, even though like they're doing it in a new style, they've shown that NXT is a completely different world, and no one gives a rip what you did there. Even when Braun's going to get called up, it's going to be, all right, now you prove yourself here.
Maybe, because now with the new directive, they're kind of sort of trying to prepare the audience, hey, they're going to be up here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but the problem is you still have one group running NXT. Is it in a framework to help get them ready for the main roster? Yes. But it's still Hunter and Sean running that.
Well,
and on the next level, what?
I said, I wouldn't say Hunter and Sean at the moment, but yeah.
Okay, Sean's booking right now.
Sean's running the show with Gabe Sapolsky. Let's be real.
Right. But you know, you've got Hunter probably on the phone. It's fine.
Maybe.
But also, I think once you get up to the main roster, you've got Bruce and Vince and Kevin.
But if they're more heavily involved and paying more attention to the people in NXT, they will be more familiar with them, which should help translate to regular television, if the people producing the regular television are more familiar with the Braun Breakers of the world.
I think they can be familiar. I still don't know if they're going to necessarily know, like, exactly what to do with them. And that's where things can happen, where it's like, we have this idea, and then if the fans don't like it, all of a sudden it's, well, you're not connecting, we need to really rethink this.
Because the biggest example of them not knowing talent, in a way, was Karrion Kross, and him and his now fiance Scarlett were let go.
Mm-hmm.
Were we surprised by this?
Surprised? With the stop and start that they had with him, no. Part of it they did to themselves because of that opening loss to Jeff Hardy.
They killed him with that.
They killed instant credibility with him, because when he first comes out, you look at him and you're like, you know, oh, big boy. And he has that kind of look like he's going to try and murder you. And then Jeff beats him in 2 minutes. And it instantly takes the piss out, you know, the wind out of the sails. And you're kind of like, okay. So even if Karrion comes back the next week and just annihilates Jeff, he's already starting two paces back.
Plus it doesn't
help that they completely, you know, killed his entrance, which was part of the mystique as well.
Yeah, and it was a smoke and mirrors to his act, because he lacks something.
He's really powerful, but
he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't have that.
There's something to his overall character that's missing,
character wise. But in ring work too, he's powerful, but there's nothing like really like powerful about him. Like, he does his suplex a little bit, but there's, like, no striking, like, the striking, ooh, power move offense, like, or, like, even a big suplex that, like, made you go, ooh, that's impressive.
Yeah, he does the kind of judo throw or the whatever that suplex that he throws out.
Yeah.
And I want to say, to me, it's almost like diminishing returns, like when Brock throws the German. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brock throwing it is impressive, especially when, you know, he throws him over his head and the guy basically lands a city over. But when he's starting to land 14, 15 in a match, you kind of go, well, I mean, shouldn't this have broken him by now?
What else you got?
Yeah. What you else know, can you do?
You're talking about Brock and his Germans. It gets to a point after the fourth or fifth, I feel like I'm watching somebody play a WWE video game, and they've got a surefire way of beating the game with one move.
The spam glitch, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Mortal Kombat / Street Fighter. You get the guy into the corner, and you do the slide kick over and over and over again.
And yeah, the NPC just cannot get out of that corner.
Yeah.
There are names on this like Grand Malik and Lince Dorado who won it out, so they got out. You got Eva Marie who came in, did her job, and left.
And there's no saying that she won't be back, because they know if we need a heat magnet, you just bring her in for, you know, a spot appearance, and she'll be a lightning rod for it.
So overall, like, there are names that are shocking. There's names that you're disappointed that are no longer with the company, but there overall, it's like, doesn't change your weekly viewing of the product.
Yeah, this isn't the Bray and Braun release where you looked at that and went, whoa, those are two really top card guys. Huh. I mean, like we talked about, they looked like they were trying to do a little something with Keith Lee, with Bearcat Lee, Keith Lee. But it was just like, okay, he beat up Akira Tozawa and Cedric Alexander. That was the start of his run, I guess. Nia was hurt, and I think there's other considerations with Nia that played into it as well, in and out of ring. Karrion was stop and start and trying to figure out, like, his third or fourth restart. Scarlett was never, you know, once Karrion got called up, she just disappeared. And again, we don't know if there was something missing there.
And I said this on Thursday, she was 2TV14 for a TVPG world.
Yeah. Scarlett is very nice on the eyes, but there's too much to look at, if you know what I mean. And it's hard. And I mean, in a little bit, Frankie's a little in that area as well. It's not as much as it was, say, like at Impact, but
you can see it. But no, Frankie Monet came in, or Taya Valkyrie, whatever you want to call her, came in at the wrong time.
Yeah, and if you read some of the comments she's put out after the fact, when it was like, okay, now that I've been released, I can see like who lied to me. And I think it's one of those things. I think certain people really wanted to do something with her, and I think some people said they wanted to do something.
She came in, they probably had ideas for her. Then the pressure came, we just lost this war that was created, and we need to change philosophy. And she got lost in the you know, shuffle of everything.
Well, and like you brought up on Thursday, the thing I think that really hurt her was Mandy moving, because Mandy basically took over the gimmick. Because Frankie was amassing her, you know, House of Monet,
yeah.
and then Mandy showed up and created Toxic Attraction, and it's like, that's the one that won out, and now that Toxic Attraction is there, it's like, Frankie became expendable.
I would agree. Any other comments about the list?
I was going to say, I will give credit to Oney Lorcan. He, I think, has heeded some of the advice that you hear from people like, you know, Drew and Jinder and some of those guys that have gone through this kind of situation. They know it sucks. They know it's bad. But if you go online, Oney has a really good kind of like farewell. And he, you know, he knows this situation sucks. But at the same time, he's very gracious about it. And that's one of the things where WWE, if they need to bring him back, will bring him back. the people like Mike Bennett kind of burn a bridge on the way out, that doesn't help things.
Some people know how to handle it. Some people are very reactionary and just sort of like just spout off at the mouth.
There's rumors all over social media that Nia Jax was released because she refused to get jabbed.
If you follow her at any point in the last year, you would know her stance.
And I don't follow her and I don't know her stance, so.
That it you just pick up on the clues, Tim, if you knew her stance on it.
And especially if you're working in a traveling company.
One that's planning on going overseas a bunch of times.
That wants to go overseas as well as travel to states that have certain levels of requirements, you need to be prepared. And if you want to have certain stances and beliefs, that's fine, but know that that could inhibit your work.
And I'm going to put this out to Tim. She's not the only one.
Nope. Well, you know, it's no secret what Sasha Banks thinks, but she's still there.
I believe she has changed her tune and is back on the road successfully, Tim.
Yep.
Because she traveled overseas. She's back on the road successfully. But no, I meant more people on this list were probably released for those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the talk and speculation.
Well, with this round of releases and the last round of releases, I don't know if you saw it on social media, but I saw a meme. It did give me a chuckle. You guys remember the series finale of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yep.
The very last scene?
Yeah,
Will Smith standing in the empty living room looking around?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took a screen grab of that, slapped Triple H's head on Will Smith, and the meme essentially is that when you come back to WWE and see what Vince McMahon has done with all the wrestlers you've invested in.
The meme is also the WWE 2K22 roster.
Yeah, with Roman Reigns being the only one standing in the living room.
Yeah.
Okay, that one I didn't see. The Triple H one, I saw that. It gave me a chuckle.
Yeah, if you're a 2K22 dev right now, you're just sitting there going, the fuck?
I just finished writing that guy. God damn it.
Well, I remember when the last bit of releases hit, there was a bit of a uproar/panic over at 2K because there was 1 to 2 DLC packs that were centered around people that had been released.
Yeah.
And so now it was like, well, shit, what do we do? And now that they've made these changes again, you're kind of like, well, I guess we pared down the roster. On the bright side, you get a lot of things in Create a Wrestler to make whomever you want.
Well, before we move on to the next topic for the night, let me ask you guys this. Who do you, on this roster do you see coming back 6 months or 12 months from now?
No one.
A year from now, possibly. I would say for, like I said, a spot appearance, Eva. Because it costs, I mean, it doesn't really harm, you know, do anything for them. She can just go there, be a valet, get some lightning heat for someone, and then peace out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no offense, I don't see a Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez. Most of the people that have been released, there's nothing really for them. And on the bright side, they do have the former WWE superstar moniker, which could help them earn a little bit more on the indies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there and have a wrestling promotion, hire these people.
Yeah.
I know Scarlett has a bunch of dates lined up for stuff, so.
Scarlett has a lot of opportunities presented to her. We'll put it that way.
Well, all of these guys currently would be able to command top dollar on the indie, but the longer they're away from television, the more that payday will drop for them.
Some have 30, some have 90, depending on the contract you have. Like, Scarlett has a 30, Oney Lorcan has a 90. I would assume Baxter and Cortez and Rama and Ramir all have the 30 days. I would assume the Lucha House Party has 90. Keith Lee and such. I would assume Harry has a 90, but yeah. So that's all of that. We're gonna.
Yeah. Well, I could find out about Harry, but I'm not gonna ask.
I don't. I think he's okay with what's going on.
Yeah. Well, he can go back to doing all the stuff that he was doing. I don't know if you followed him before too much when he was making his rounds on the indie scene and stuff, but he has really come a long way in MMA.
He has. I heard he was doing well in MLW when he was down there.
Yep.
So, yeah, he'll be fine.
Now, one final thing to say. Fans, I know that you're really excited at all of the possibilities that are coming up. Can we please stop with all of the, I can't wait for so-and-so to hit AEW?
Oh, God. Yeah, first off, there's no guarantee of that. Secondly, AEW is absolutely bloated right now.
Are they, though?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, isn't Rampage only 1 hour?
Yeah.
That doesn't give a lot of TV time.
But if you listen to people like Tony Khan, the quote is, he's interested in a few of the latest WWE releases.
I'm honestly just waiting to see when Papa Khan decides to close the wallet for Tony. At what point does he go, you have enough action figures, you're done?
Well, isn't AEW turning a profit?
Not yet. Because no, they sunk
because
money.
They threw a ton of money into games.
They threw money into their video game department. So when that comes out, they're hoping to get back in the black.
Back in black.
So with that, we're going to move on. We're going to go to agree to disagree. And we've got five topics for them to talk about. They have 90 seconds to talk about the topic. You'll hear a buzzer, a beep, whatever the sound may be at the end of the 90 seconds.
Screw it. I'm going over.
We're going to start with Brent on this topic. Liv Morgan should be the next Raw Women's Champion.
Honestly, I think she should be Raw Women's Champion at some point. Do I think she should be the next one? I don't know. I think she still has some work. I think she still needs to establish herself on the Raw roster. I think Bianca should probably get the belt off of Becky to keep before, you know, her trend of beating the horsewomen going, because that'll help elevate her. And plus, if you have Liv going up against Bianca, you've got a pretty good match between the two, and you're going up against someone who's still up and coming, but credible. So I think that would provide a little bit better. I just don't see Liv, like, taking on Becky.
Okay. Tim, Liv Morgan should be the next Raw Women's Champion. Agree or disagree?
I 100% disagree. There's way too much drama, if you will, the soap opera angle of it going on right now. With the Raw Women's Champion and her contenders, making Liv the next Raw Women's Champion really doesn't give any credence to what's going on at the moment. In my opinion, I have always been of the thought, if you'll excuse the boxing parlance, Liv Morgan has always punched above her weight, class. And, you know, well, shit, intern, you said it. She needs to establish herself on Raw.
I think Liv's got, she's got the fans behind her, which is a really good thing for her because it's giving her opportunity. She's come a long way in the ring. I think there's just a tiny bit more for her to go with.
What they need to do is put her on a massive, women's division mid-card run and just start tearing that up. Yeah, you know, you have to keep things believable enough. You have to throw in the odd loss here and there. But it's rankings.
Wins and losses should matter?
I'm sorry. Yes, they should.
Tim's Canadian is showing... showing through there with that sorry.
But, Tim is on the elite standard because the wins and losses matter in that company. I mean, they keep records after all.
Yeah, wins
and
losses.
They don't do anything with those records.
Okay, here's the Canadian wrestling fan coming out. Of course, it's no different than a lot of American pro wrestling fans. For the purposes of kayfabe, if nothing else, wins and losses should be treated as important. Yeah. Believability in the product that you are trying to get people to invest their time in watching is a very important thing.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, and what's his name saying wins and losses don't matter? that coming from the other side, being involved in professional wrestling, yeah, they don't matter. You're scripting shit. You're creating stories and all this other stuff. But you want to give the people who are watching your product, buying your merchandise, reasons to keep doing so. And so you, even though they don't matter, really, you've got to give the impression that they do.
Okay, we're going to move on from that. I'm going to ask this one to Tim. Tim, the Florida Panthers will lose their first game in regulation this week. Agree or disagree?
Well, I've taken a look at their schedule, and it looks like there are two possibilities that the Panthers NHL hockey team could lose for the first time in regulation this year. They're 10-0-1 right now.
It's not could, it's will. Will they?
What's that?
It's not could, it's will. Will they lose?
Will they lose? Well, yeah, I'm getting to it. There are two possibilities, like I'm saying. The first one where I could see them losing is tomorrow night against the New York Rangers. The Rangers just came back from a really, really, really bad road trip, losing two in a row to the Alberta hockey teams. That stings, especially when you're up by 3 goals against Edmonton and let them come back and beat you. And then the next night be given a 6-0 spanking by my Calgary Flames. So tomorrow night against the New York Rangers, I do believe the Rangers are going to be exceedingly pissed off and they will take it to Florida. I do believe that they will lose in regulation for the first time this week. It's either going to be Monday or next Saturday.
I like the speed up at the bell. That was good. Brent, will the Florida Panthers lose their first game in regulation this week? Go.
Yes, but law of averages, yes, they will lose their first game in regulation. I like that their first chance to lose it is Monday. Yeah, that's because it's the first game before. They are then facing the two bottom-dwelling teams of the Eastern Conference in Jersey and Pittsburgh. Don't feel
watch
great
Jersey
about
be
those.
The upset. Watch Jersey be the upset.
I mean, if you look at only, this football, I mean, it's possible.
I mean, only if Putty is in the crowd, you know, with the full Devil's face paint. Gotcha. That's the only way they'll do it.
You gotta support the team.
Yeah, support the team. No, I really do think Florida will probably lose tomorrow. Will they make it out this week? No. By the time we talk this time next week, they will have a 1 in the L column, which will also help my Leafs out. So, woohoo.
It'd be kind of cool if they wind up with 3 in the L column. I got my own reasons for wanting to see Florida lose, okay? His name's Sam Bennett.
Okay. All right, next topic. Peter Venkman is the most overrated Ghostbuster. Brent.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Elaborate.
Venkman is the face of the Ghostbusters. Like, face from A-Team. Does he do a lot? Not really. He throws out the quippy line. He's there to be, you know, the front man. But if anything, Egon is the most important of the Ghostbusters. Why? Because him and Ray made all the shit. And no offense, you know, the fourth one, eh. But yeah, Peter Venkman is overrated. He just happens to get all of the screen time. He happens to get all of the quippy lines. But that's it. It's kind of worthless.
All right, Tim. Peter Venkman is the most overrated Ghostbuster. And go.
Well, he does do the least amount of work for the most results.
He's also the reason they got into trouble.
What's that?
He's also the reason they got into trouble more times than not.
Well, he gets his own ass. Yeah, you know, he gets everybody into situation. But overrated, yeah, I kind of sort of somewhat have to agree. But at the same time, when everybody else is chickening out, he's the one pushing to get it done.
Okay.
My question, Brent, who's the fourth Ghostbuster?
I can't remember off the top of my head. It's been so long.
Okay, that's it. That's it. You're getting canceled. I can't believe you. You can't remember the name of the you're so racist.
It's just not that.
You know, because he's the black Ghostbuster, you can't remember his name. That's disgusting.
Winston.
There you go. Good Googling.
Just gotta move on and save Brent from that one. And we'll go to Brent on this one. Kenny Omega should keep his AEW World Championship this Saturday, Brent.
Okay, well, we talked about this at length last night on CB Radio. If you want to go listen to some of the takes that I had for it, we went 90 minutes on full gear prep. But in a condensed version, Kenny Omega needs to lose the title this weekend, this upcoming weekend. If he doesn't, you have nowhere to go with Adam Page. The fans are invested in him right now. You, as Rock talked about last night, and I fully agree with it, you've revved that engine up before this. He should have probably won it before at All Out, but unfortunately, he had to take time away because he had his son, Mazel Tov. But the problem with that is you revved it up, you pulled him back, he sat on the sidelines, now you brought him back, you're revving up again. He has to win here. He has to, because if he doesn't, you've completely cut everything out from under him. And I know the fans will be like, no, but it's going to be a great story when he wins. He has to win it now, because he will have lost to Jericho in the first title match. He will have lost to Kenny multiple times. This is, you know, go or get off the pot.
I mean, basically.
We've seen the chase. We've seen the chase for 2 years. It's time.
Tim, Kenny Omega should keep his AEW World Championship this Saturday when he defends against Adam Page.
Why? What makes him so great and special that he should be able to hold on to that title?
Because he's from North Carolina.
That means absolute jack shit. That's all I can say about that. Yeah, Kenny Omega should not keep his AEW World Championship this Saturday. He's had it long enough. You don't want to totally throw what's his name, Adam, to the side.
Hangman Page.
After, man. Huh?
Hangman Page.
Yeah. You don't want to throw Page off to the side after all the investment that you put in there. And it's, you know, the storyline. At some point, you've got to pull the trigger so that you get that pop from the fans. They're invested. Don't rip them off. Give them their money's worth. Saturday is the time to pull that trigger.
Okay. And finally, we'll start with Tim. Tim, there are too many Marvel movies?
Oh, God. Yeah. No, there are too many Jaws movies. They should have stopped at one. Why would you think there are too many Marvel movies? I mean, the common thread for Phase 1 was leading up to the Avengers trilogy, which I thought was great. However, all of these movies are standing on their own for the most part. Yeah, there's tie-ins. Of course there's tie-ins. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're working on keeping shit consistent, which is perfectly fine. I'm looking forward to seeing the Eternals. I can't wait to see what they do with this story. Okay, I grew up a Marvel's comics kid. I'm good with it.
Okay.
So give me more.
That's your take. Brent, are there too many Marvel movies?
I know some people are probably going to disagree, but currently I'm going to say yes.
I already disagreed.
That's fine. That's fine.
So there.
But I mean, in terms of the large scope of it, the thing that I think that were good about the Marvel movies initially was that it was somewhat based in reality. I think a lot of the Marvel films that came out before Iron Man and Thor and that first phase of the cinematic universe, part of it failed because when you were doing like Fantastic Four, both iterations of it, it felt cartoony. Whereas when you watch something like Captain America, even though he's running barefoot down the street, catching up to a car that's speeding away, it still felt grounded. In a sense, now that we're getting into a lot of the multiverse and, you know, Eternals, Universal, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, we're getting into a lot of this mythic part of the Marvel world. And I think it's getting a little out there for fans where your comic book fans are going to love it. I think your casual fan is going to start going, what the hell's going on? And you're going to start losing them.
Okay. There you go. Tim, do you have a quick rebuttal?
They're not all the same movie.
I'm not saying they're all the same movie, but I'm saying...
Well, if they were all the same movie, then yeah, way too fucking many of them. The nice thing is the diversity. Are there too many James Bond movies?
Yes. Now.
Okay, shut up. Are there too many Jason Bourne movies?
Yeah.
Do you want more Jason Bourne?
No.
Do you want more John Wick?
No.
okay, you know what? Your taste in the movie is shit.
No, I
enjoy, yeah, it is.
I enjoy, here, let me say this. I enjoy those kinds of movies. But the problem is, once you start getting past 2, 3, you're starting to water it down. It's not, these weren't written to be 3, 4, 5 movie arcs. They were written as like one movie, maybe two. And because they're like, ooh, this makes money, it's going, okay, we need to throw a story together now. Shit.
They're called episodic standalones. Now, here's the thing. For the James Bond franchise, there have been some movies that are better than others, but they're not getting weaker and watered down more as more come out. There's an ebb and flow, and the Daniel Craig Bonds are absolutely epic. He's had one subpar movie, and it's still a good movie, Quantum of Solace. He's finished his run as Bond with No Time to Die, this one being the longest James Bond movie in history so far to this point, is also being ranked as one of the best Bonds ever. The franchises like that, like the Jason Bourne, those aren't, oh, we can make more money with a sequel, quick, throw something together. They are actually putting together a good story. And the original Jason Bourne, I'm not talking about the Jason Bourne Legacy. That one should be stricken from the books. That one was a cash grab.
But it's still part of the universe. It's still part of, you have to consider it as part of the group. It's the same thing again, with all of the Star Wars movies.
Again, if I can finish without being interrupted, pardon the interruption, by the way. The Jason Bourne series, the original three movies, were a continuation and a flow of the overall story arc.
And then they made a fourth one with Jason Bourne, and it shouldn't have happened.
Well, that's because they figured, well, we better bring back Matt Damon, because this one didn't quite work, the Legacy. I can't even remember who starred in it. Fuck.
That was Jeremy Renner, who is now.
Oh, Hawkeye. Yeah, that's right.
So he's basically Hawkeye. Doing Jason Bourne in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. So. Oh, wait, we get it. We're done.
All right, time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
We're almost done.
I got a question for you.
Don't ask.
Did our part-time third wheel of this trio, you know, sketchy masochistic, did he send in his picks?
Well, to ruin the bit. All right.
What?
Thanks for ruining the bit, Tim.
What bit?
Nothing.
You didn't warn me about a bit.
You didn't need to be warned. Sensational Sherry takes on.
But I'm angled to his name.
Sensational Sherry takes on Stephanie McMahon.
Quit no selling me.
Casey.
For Sherry versus Stephanie McMahon, I'm going to have to go with Stephanie. Part of that is probably because I was more exposed to her character work over Sensational Sherry, just based on what I was able to watch. But I mean, Stephanie McMahon, she was able to go from like very super sweet, innocent girl to the extreme other side and kind of everything in between, shows a lot of diversity in her ability for character work. And just, yeah, I mean, it's close. I'm not saying Sherry was bad. It's just between the two of them and such tough call, I'm going to have to go with Stephanie.
Brent.
It is a close call, but I'm going to go with Sherry.
Oh, wow.
I know that Casey talked about the fact that he didn't get a lot of, you know, viewing opportunity with Sherry. For me, it's one of those things of Sherry did more across companies, and the fact that, you know, she was a wrestler, she was a valet, she could help elevate other people around her. I'm not saying Stephanie couldn't. I think her paired with Hunter was great. I think the transition from, as Casey said, her being, you know, the sweet and innocent Mr. McMahon's daughter, to becoming the billion-dollar princess to becoming the evil, hated authority. And plus, Stephanie can come out and instantly be face or instantly be heel at the drop of a hat. She can walk out and promote the women's division, and you're like, yeah, go Stephanie! And 5 minutes later, she can walk out and have the entire arena boo her incessantly. And that's great character work. I just think that Sherry was able to do more with all of her versions of her character across areas, from being Queen Sherry to Sister Sherry to her working with Colonel Robert Parker.
Sensational. All of that.
Yeah, Sensational Sherry when she was paired with Sean, when she fought Luna, all of that together, I think, edges Sherry out over Stephanie in this instance.
So, Tim, you get to break the tie.
Which is, yeah, that's wild. As far as Stephanie McMahon and her character goes, yeah, you know, sweet and innocent daddy's girl, billion-dollar princess, authority, and then getting that pop. Well, when she comes out and gets that pop, she's being Stephanie McMahon. She's not being the character Stephanie McMahon. And when Stephanie is doing the heel bitch, I'm in control, so fuck you, character. Don't get me wrong. She's wicked good at it. She's absolutely fantastic, and you love to hate her. It's great, but it's an extension of Mr. McMahon, in my opinion, in my eyes. It's a one-trick pony. It's the same frickin' thing. Not that this is a bad thing, but the development there is limited by necessity because of who she is, when compared to the character she plays when she gets on TV. Brett nailed it with Sherry. Very diverse, able to adapt across multiple venues, across multiple promotions. And don't forget, she's the one who was in screaming Sean's name in the song he sang that was his entrance music. So, means absolutely fuck all. My pick, Sensational Sherry, or Scary Sherry, or whatever you want to call it.
Our first semifinalist is Sensational Sherry.
Bum ba da bum.
Mae Young, Beth Phoenix, Tim.
Oh boy, love the glamazon. She grew on me more and more as time has passed by. But, you know, Mae Young, say what you want to say behind the scenes. When she was on the top of the mountain, it was a different world. It was a different time. She was kind of the blueprint. My pick is Mae Young.
Okay. Let's go to Casey.
For Mae Young versus Beth Phoenix, I'm going to pick Beth Phoenix. I just thought she had a little bit more diversity in the characters that she portrayed overall on TV. While Mae Young was, you know, always game to do anything, especially at her age, she was kind of very similar character throughout her whole run. So I'm going to give it to Beth. Just did a little bit more character-wise.
So that means Brant gets to break the tie.
I get to break the tie!
By the way, Casey was wrong.
I think Casey brings up a good point about Beth, but I don't. To me, when Beth was a performer, an in-ring performer, she felt very one-dimensional. She was supposed to be the glamazon, the woman in the time of the divas that would just kick the high holy hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now she had her moments with like Great Khali and Santino. But we have to remember, when she worked with Santino, she was the straight person. Santino was the one with all of the personality.
Mm-hmm.
She just stood there and dealt with his shit. I think later in the career, you know, now that she's been able to be on commentary, we started to really kind of see Beth shine through. And, you know, by God, if you read her Twitter, she's amazing. But I think in terms of wrestling character, from what we've seen, Mae, when she had her opportunities from the, you know, from way back when she was performing in the ring to, you know, the 80s and 90s when she's, and the early 2000s when she's a legend and still going out there, taking table bumps, being hilarious, you know, pairing up with Mark Henry, of all people, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? There's so much personality that shines through, and there's so much to that character that while Beth was a great in-ring performer, if she had just even an ounce of the character that May had just performing, it would make this a little bit closer in my mind, but I have to go with May.
So I'm just going to put it out there. Sherry versus May Young in the next round.
That's fine.
Lita takes on Alexa Bliss.
Oh.
Brent.
God damn it.
God damn you.
You
I know made... I know I made the sound, so therefore I was going to be the first one.
I mean, if you waited 5 more seconds, Tim would have jumped in first.
It's fine. Because
I did say god damn it, but...
yeah, it's fine. No, this one's really tough. Because in Lita, you have a great in-ring performer. She has very distinct eras. And I think that kind of helps when we're talking about, like, female personality. That's where I think Beth kind of loses a little bit of an edge from the last round, was it was kind of like Beth Phoenix, and then there was a little bit of personality. With Lita, we had, you know, in-ring with Team Extreme, and, you know, the time that she had with Trish. Then there was the whole, you know, she got paired with Kane, and all the shit that went with that. And, of course, there's that little incident with Gene Snitsky, which we won't talk about. It wasn't my fault! But then after that, you had the whole Matt Hardy Edge triangle in and out of ring. And that, again, completely changed the character of Lita. Because you had the fans that always wanted to cheer her because, you know, she did the moonsault. She did the high-flying lucha style. And then they all booed her and called her things that I will not repeat on radio right now. So you've got that. And then you've got Alexa, who's been, you know, compared to Lita, has a much shorter time in the ring. But, oh my God, all the stuff that she's done in that short time. You know, the iterations that she had in NXT, the breakout that she had in NXT, you know, changing from the cute little sprite into evil Miss Bliss. Then she comes up to the main roster and she has the cosplay that she's doing. She's the goddess. She, you know, has the tag team with Nikki. She became, you know, possessed by Bray Wyatt and then brought out Lily. All of these things, you know, the moment of Bliss segments, all of those things just add to her personality. And I think in terms of, oh God, this sucks. I'm talking myself into both of them.
It's okay. You can pick Lita. I think you can. No,
we did it to ourselves, Brent.
See, I know we did it to ourselves. The thing is, I don't know if I'm biased just because it's happening sooner. So it's kind of like I'm feeling more drawn going in terms of talking about female personality with Alexa, but I think I'm going to go that. I think I'm going to choose Alexa over Lita, and because we're going female personality, not necessarily female in-ring performer.
Character.
Female character. I still think Alexa has had more of an overall character and has run with more of her character.
Tim?
I'm not going to give you a great big, huge, long preamble. I love Lita. I love what she did. Her entire thing, she was the alt-rock chick, bottom line, at the end of the day. That's who she was, the alternative rock chick. Great feuds, absolutely fantastic feuds with Trish. Highlight reel matches. But that's wrestler. If this was wrestling, I'd be leaning towards Lita as the, you know, the better female wrestler. It's character. Alexa has done so much in such a short time. Everything she has done, she has gotten over. And each iteration takes less effort than the last one. And we're buying it happily. I've got to pick Alexa.
This one is probably my most difficult choice between the two out of the bunch. You have
Thanks for playing, Casey.
Lita, who did so many different amazing things, teaming with S.A. Rios. Oliver Hardy's stuff, everything with Edge, the big awkward moment segment with Kane during the 15th anniversary of Raw, which was pure gold. And then you have Alexa Bliss, who no matter what kind of character has been given to her, she has knocked it out of the park every single time. Both of these women have done amazing character work in their careers over the years. It's so tough. But I think I'm going to have to go with Alexa Bliss, only because the extremes of the characters that she's had to do were a lot more all over the place than Lita's, with the whole Fiend stuff, and then on the other end, the cheerleader, and just being a mean girl, and then being a nice mean girl. Yeah, so I'm picking Alexa Bliss.
God, I would like to state for the record, Keishi, I have it on good authority that that Keishi handed his audio in literally hours before we went live. Is that not correct, Mr. Producer?
That is actually correct. He sent them in at 8:15 this evening.
Let's all understand that we have not had any communication with Sketchy since last Sunday night. No word of a lie. Independently.
It's okay. We're all knowledgeable wrestling minds.
That's we're all saying means. The same goddamn thing. And it's like, okay, I just said that, you prick.
It's also why I was trying to urge Brent to pick Lita so we could have a third, you know, broken tie. But
yeah, well, quit trying to influence, okay? That's wrong.
And finally, Bailey and Victoria. Tim.
Oh, they. Oh, boy. Without drawing this out too much, during her time, Victoria did a fair amount. Of course, she started out as one of Godfather's hoes, basically morphed in her own right to a very, very strong character in WWE. But Bailey was handed a ball, and she ran with it effortlessly. Her character was allowed to grow and progress. That, believe it or not, is not a very typical thing in wrestling. When they find what works, they stick with it and beat it to death. Yeah, sure, you've got wrestlers who are heels and then they turn baby faces, and you got wrestlers who are the good guys and then they turn heel. They're the same damn wrestler. It's the same damn character. Bailey, many facets in a very, very, very complex character was built by this performer. And that's who I'm picking, Bailey.
Right.
Bailey turning heel saved her, because if all she was the Uber fan and the, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so excited to be here, like she had in NXT and, you know, the first two thirds of her run in the WWE, not that she didn't run with that and just completely embody it, but her turning heel is what added just such a great dynamic to her and gave her the chance to really explore that other side. And it gave us those great moments like her feud with Michael Cole. I know it hasn't, you know, really turned into anything aside from just yelling back and forth during matches or on commentary, but the interaction those two have is worth it alone. That being said, I'm going to go with Victoria. Only because, just like Sherry, and I'm going to stick to that kind of idea, she did more across multiple platforms, and she could be a face when you needed her to be, and be, you know, believable, and then could be one of the most wicked people that you needed on the roster. And again, it was very believable. So, and I think a lot of the stuff that she did in TNA/Impact is overlooked because it was TNA/Impact, but she helped carry the Knockouts division for a while, and that I think can't be overstated and needs to be acknowledged.
So it all comes down to this:
picking Bailey over Victoria, just such an extreme change in character from superfan hugging Bailey to destroying the Bailey buddies and becoming basically Karen Haircut Bailey, carrying basically the WWE through the pandemic in the Thunderdome. She was, in my opinion, one of the saving graces, if not the saving grace of that period of time for them. So Bailey all the way.
Can't fault him for that.
So next week in the semifinals, we have Sensational Sherry taking on Mae Young and Alexa Bliss taking on Bailey.
New school versus old school. Here we go.
Yeah, it kind of is. this is actually something we could have seen. And I do believe, did we not see Bayley versus Alexa at some point in time?
Many times. We've seen
that. That was part of Alexa saying Bayley needed to, you know, she would never beat Alexa Bliss because Bayley couldn't go to that level. That's when she would like put the kendo stick out there and be like, use it, Bayley.
It was a rhetorical question. Thank you.
That's fine. I'm the intern. I'm supposed to know the history of stuff.
But we've never seen Mae Young tangle with Sherry.
But we will next week.
Virtually. Only here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
But we're done, Tim.
That's it. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Hey, Rock, when's Survivor Series?
2 weeks.
You know what that means is happening next week.
Pick 'em.
Survivor Series pick 'em. That's absolutely correct. The teams for Survivor Series have already been chosen, guys.
They did it on social media. Oh, my God.
They did it on social media. Why would they do that?
I don't know, to give people an opportunity to know what's going on.
That's a switch. Anyway, yeah, that's show night. Get ready for Survivor Series Pick'em next Sunday. But we got a whole week in between, starting with tomorrow night, immediately following Rod's post show.
Is the Rod post show every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Kind of funny how you sort of, like, continued sing-song after I finished doing sing-song. Sort of. Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with the multi-time, multi-award winning Lindsay Ward and some guy named Rock.
We did the Undertaker tier list last week. What we'll do this week, who knows? It's The Rack live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Cool. Of course, you're doing Fortnite with friends.
We play the video game Saturdays, 10:30-ish.
Hey, intern, what are you doing Saturday night?
This Saturday night, I'm coming home from helping people rappel off of a building. Maybe watching a little bit of a pay-per-view. And then, oh yeah, there's going to be CB Radio.
The wild, the wacky, the unusual, the what, Brent? The what?
I don't know what you want.
You see, it's not that easy to come up with these, is it?
No one's asking you to come up with them.
Hey, the wild, the whack of the unusual, the guys who love to steal airplanes, CB Radio.
It's your
Saturdays, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it.
It is your only excuse to be home on Saturday night, CB Radio live, Saturday night, midnight-ish, hashtag a decade plus four coming soon.
Here you go. And, of course, I've only said it three or five times already. WTR will be back next Sunday night. We're going to be doing Pick'em, talking Survivor Series, previewing that, and... Rock, oh my goodness, are we going to see the final and the champion for the all-time greatest?
That is the plan.
Holy Romoli, we got to think up a brand new all-time greatest for the next run, don't we?
Sure, Tim.
Yeah, you didn't know where to go with that one because we kind of already have
it. We have it. That's yeah.
We already have one planned out for you, kids. Don't worry. We're not going to leave you in the lurch. We know how much you love the all-time greatest. That said, hey, you know what? Follow us on the socials, right, Rock?
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday on the Facebooks and the Twitters. Brent's on the Twitters, too, where he likes to make friends.
Yes, I make friends for my comments about certain organizations and how they either don't follow rules or... just should be held accountable. And you can find those ramblings on at Cane Kittens.
Tim?
I'm on Twitter.
Cool.
I'm on Twitter.
Are you?
You follow me.
Eh.
At Flames Forums. Because I talk hockey and I talk wrestling. And Reface is a thing. Which is Rock's secret favorite thing on Twitter whenever I post it.
It's the worst.
He loves it. It's his guilty pleasure.
We're starting a petition.
It's just scary as hell.
But I do other stuff, too. I'll show you pics of the latest projects I've been hired to do. Pics of food that I've made that I create that's really yummy and tasty, and it'll make you mouthwater just looking at the pics because they're really good. You know, the odd dad joke here and there. Stuff like that. So, you know, follow me at Flames Forums. I'm at 1,966 followers. I need 34 more to hit 2,000. Be one of them. Keishi is not here. But Keishi is on Twitter. You should follow him at Kyle Driver. That's like Kyle Driver, but with a K instead of a B.
He's on Twitter.
At Kyle Driver on Twitter.
At Instagram. Buy his stuff on his Redbubble store. Links in his profile.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and if you're in the Calgary area, you can catch him wrestling sometimes twice a week in Calgary.
Say good night, Tim.
Good night, Tim.
WildTalkRadio.com.